Good evening. Can y'all hear me? Yeah, all right. We're in a series, True Righteousness Revealed. Have y'all enjoyed this series? I tell you, it's the Beatitudes. We just started it, and it's been very challenging for me. It's opened a lot of things that I thought that, well, you know, I'm all right, but no. It really caused a lot of self-examination. I've really been blessed with the series so far, the ones that have been coming before us. And tonight, I pray that it's no different. Tonight, we're in chapter 5, verses 9 through 12. And I'm going to ask you to turn there, if you would. And I'm going to ask you tonight to stand in honor and reverence out of reading God's Word tonight. Matthew chapter 5, verses 9 through 12. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. And blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil things against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Let's just pray. Father God, I just thank you so much for the opportunity tonight, Lord, that we're here in your house, Father, just to hear from you, Father. I just ask, Lord, that it'll all be about your message. And Father, I pray, Father, that I preach as a dying man to dying people, Lord, your word. Father, remove me, Lord. Father, I just ask that your word would go out and that, Father, our hearts would be softened. That, Lord, if we hear from you, Lord, that we will receive your word, Father. Father, I just ask for clarity of speech. I ask, Lord, that you would just bless this time. And Lord, we confess right now that the enemy is a defeated foe. He has no place here, no power. And we thank you for that. We have the victory in you. Amen. You may be seated. I named this series Ambassadors of God's Peace and Righteousness because I really believe that's what we are. I really believe in these Beatitudes as we've been studying them that these two things here, God has really called us to do that. You know, as believers, we have a privilege, an honor to be representatives of Christ. And let me tell you something. If you're a follower of Christ and you have not found your purpose in life tonight, these two things we're going to talk about is your purpose in life. Is to be peacemakers, to lift up the righteousness of God. It's an honor, and I hope you see it that way. A lot of times we don't, but let me tell you something. If you have the privilege to take the next breath and to be in this world, this is it. This is our purpose. That's the only reason we're still here, is to be peacemakers. And lift up God's righteousness. Can we do that? The Bible says that we're believers, we're Christians. Are we Christians? Let me rephrase that again. Are we Christians? Yes, yes we are. I'm going to try something. Maybe you'll help me out. Okay? We are Christians. We are? Christians. We are. Christians. Yes, we are Christians. And we're going to talk to this tonight, and you may think, man, righteous, I fall on my face all the time. Yeah, we do. We do, and it's going to happen, but there's a remedy for that. But let's get into the scriptures tonight as we go. The first verse in verse 9, it says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. You have an outline if you wish to follow along there. Basically, first, I put up there, the peacemakers are called sons of God. A peacemaker, what is that definition? One who desires to make harmony with God and others. One that desires, and I put that, it's a pursuit. You know, a lot of people think, well, you know, that, you know, peacemaking is, what kind of peace is that? I mean, is it that kind of peace that everybody talks about that, you know, if you do what you want to do and I do what I do, that's peace because it's right. No, it's God's peace we're talking about tonight. It's the only peace that will make sense. It's the only peace that gives us life, purpose, and propels us to keep going on and pressing on. He says, the peacemakers are called the sons of God. Ain't that a blessing? To be called a son of God. Wow. How does that happen? I mean, obviously, you know, you've heard people say, well, you know, those of y'all that have kids, well, you're just like your daddy. Well, you're just like your mom. Well, there are certain characteristics that are coming out in that individual for them to say that. And the same thing as Christians, as God being our Father and we being His children, there are certain characteristics that have to be there in your life and mine. Okay, let's just go through four of them real quickly first. Peacemakers have made peace with God. Peacemakers have made peace with God. In Romans 5:1 it says, "And therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Let me tell you something. This is the first step. If we don't take this step, nothing in this Bible, God has not made no provision for you to live the Christian life without this step right here. You must make peace with God. You must. Or all His promises are going to arrive DOA, dead on arrival. You want to be a peacemaker? You're going to be a peacemaker? Let me tell you, so this is the first step. We've got to make sure that we have made peace with God. That is the first step. That is the foundation to build upon. There was a man that was on his deathbed, and this man was really just despised Christians and through his whole life and persecuted them. And finally, one day, he was on his deathbed, and the lady, his servant, came up to him. He says, "Don't you think you ought to make peace with God?" And he said, "I didn't know we were at odds." And sadly, some people think that way. I'm a good person. I don't hurt nobody. Why do I need to make peace with God? But you see, you need to compare yourself to the holy God that we're talking about, the God of this Bible, and you see how short we fall. He says, first of all, that peacemakers have to make peace with God first. That is the foundation to build on. If we're going to be peacemakers, if we're going to be called sons of God, this is the first step. We got it? We can move on. The next one. Peacemakers know the peace of God. Peacemakers know the peace of God. In John 14:27, it says, "Peace I leave you. My peace I give you. Not as the world gives you, I give you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Wow. Have you experienced that peace? See, this peace here is that God leaves us is something. Now, this world has a peace to offer. And this the peace that they pursue is temporal. It's seeking pleasure. That, well, as long as I'm getting pleasure, I'm at peace. As long as I'm being satisfied, I'm at peace. As long as it's my way and I'm at peace. As long as I think positive, I'm at peace. You see? And they're in denial, basically. You let hard things come into their life, and where they will come. And you find out that peace don't hold. But God's peace. See, God's peace is different. There's a peace that Christ gives us when we come and take that first step. First and foremost, it gives us the peace of mind. That, you know what? And you've heard the classic, "If you died today, where would you go?" I have that peace that if God were to call me right now, I'd be in His presence. And man, that is peace. That is tremendous peace. And nobody can take it away. No one. I mean, we ought to be ecstatic, and we ought to be mad like, yes, people, I got something that the world don't got, and I want to introduce you to it. It's God's peace. But for some reason, we're kind of, "Well, I'm all right, you know. I mean, if they ask me, all right, you know, we'll talk about it." I'm telling you, man, we need to get after it. But the thing is this: the peace that God gives us not only peace of mind, but when tough things come, and as I said earlier, you know, being a Christian does not it does not mean that there's going to be absence of problems. Actually, it's going to be the presence of God's power. Problems are going to come, but it's going to be an opportunity to see God's power at hand. And our peace will be there because it's God that brings peace. He's right there with us. So we have nothing to worry about. I hope that you experience that peace. I really do. Because let me tell you something, things are going to happen. Especially when we get into the righteousness part. Things are going to happen, and you're going to need this. You're going to have to really find this, and it's in Christ. You know, I was thinking an individual, and I don't know, maybe you've gone to this website. The website is I'm Second. Anybody heard of that? I'm Second. There's some people on that website that give their testimony. There was one individual there, and I forget his name, but he was the head. He was in this band called Korn. And this guy, you look at him, he was like knocking on the door of hell. I mean, this guy was so skinny, strung out on drugs. I mean, tattoos. I mean, and this guy was giving his testimony. He goes, man, I had this hole in my heart, and I've tried drugs. I've tried, you know, sex. I've tried money. I've had everything. I was miserable. And he was trying to feel that peace, and he couldn't get it nowhere. And one day, a realtor, he was trying to purchase a property, and a realtor that was a Christian came to him and says, you know what? The Bible says, the Bible says, now forget, it's in Matthew, he says, well, he says, those that are weary, come to me, and heavily burdened, come to me, and I'll give you rest. And they just jumped out at him, because that's where he was at. And this guy sat there, and he asked Jesus Christ to come into his life. He goes, man, I'm quitting this band. I'm going to dedicate my life to my little girl and my God. Man, I've been looking for this. Ain't that something? See, that's true peace. This man was there. He had everything that the world has to offer. It just came up empty. Oh, it's good for the moment, but it came up empty. And it always will. It always will. You see, the peace of God rules in our lives. So we know that peacemakers are called the sons of God because peacemakers have made peace with God, and we've experienced and know the peace of God. And the second one is this, because many Christians believe that, well, okay, you know, we're peacemakers and that's cool and everything, but, you know, do we really have to make peace with everybody? I mean, some people are hard, right? They are. They're hard. But yes, we do. Let me show it to you real quick. Peacemakers pursue peace with all, with all. In Hebrews 12:14 says, pursue peace with all people, and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. How important is that? That we strive. Now, I want you to understand, it says in the scripture, pursue. That means that, guess what? It's not just going to lay there on my lap. I got to pursue it. I got to go after it. I'm going to make every effort to go and make peace with this individual. You see, the problem is that, yeah, I mean, there's some people that are hard to try and make peace with. But God says, hey, peace and holiness. No, holiness is separation. Holiness is sanctification. It's righteousness. And that's the next part of this. Those two, he says, without those two, you won't see God. You won't see God. Because you see, those are the traits of the child of God. Always seeking peace, making peace with God, and his holiness going through him. His righteousness, God's righteousness. You see, the problem is that sometimes it's hard to make peace when people really do evil things to us. It is. It is. But, you know, the Bible does say, don't pay evil with evil. Pay evil with good. That's what it says. There was a story I read about a Marine that was at his bunk, and it was the end of the day, and everybody lights out. It was dark, and he slipped down and got outside of his bed and got on his knees, and he was praying. His gunny, or his sergeant, you know, everybody's supposed to be in bed. He saw that, and he got his muddy boots and just threw it at him and hit him upside the head with it. Get in your bunk! He didn't care about God. He didn't care about religion. He didn't care about nothing. He was just hard. The next day, that Marine got those boots, polished them up, spit shine, and put them right there at his door. It made an impression on that sergeant enough to go back and ask him, why did you do that? You see, when we pay good for evil, God honors that. He honors that. And that's what we're called to do, loved one. That's what we're called to do. Listen, peacemakers pursue peace with all people. And I realize that there's situations that, or people, may I say, that I like to call them EGR people. Extra grace required. Okay? Then God puts those people in our lives for a reason, loved one. It's to us to practice our mercy and our grace. Is it for real? Because if we never deal with those kind of people, guess what? We'll never know. But we need that. We need to dispense God's grace through us and say, Lord, and mercy. And those kind of people I've known that, you know what, have brought me to my knees at times. Is, Lord, help me with this individual. I mean, that bad. You know, it's like, man, it's a good thing I read that scripture about, you know, you got to pay evil for good. You know, it's like, no, you got to pay good for evil. And I thought, darn, okay. But, you know, the flesh, you know, wants to do something bad. And you know, we can't go there. We cannot go there. And here's the thing, another principle I want to give you before I move on this one here. Many people confuse this, okay? We cannot sacrifice truth. We cannot sacrifice truth for, to preserve peace. You cannot. It will not happen. It should not happen. And many of us do it. Well, all right, just this time. And you know what's so sad is sometimes, you know, us as parents sometimes do that with our kids. You know, we go there and we take them. It's like, you know, I want to be your buddy. I want to be your daddy. And I just, you know, all right, let's just do it this time. No, we cannot sacrifice truth for peace. We need to take it to the Lord in prayer. It's a big principle there, loved one. The next one is this. Peacemakers have a conviction of reconciliation to God. We have a conviction. Do you have a burden, a conviction? To tell people about God. That was about having peace with people. Now we're talking about bringing peace, telling people about God, the peace that He has. Do you have that conviction, that burden? You see, we should. We should have this man going on all the time, every opportunity. How many of us in here pray every morning that, Lord, give me an opportunity to speak to one, at least one individual, about you? You see, sometimes we're always too busy asking for, bless me in this and bless me in that. And I said, Lord, let us not forget our purpose here. In 2 Corinthians 5:18 and 19, it says, now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation, that is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses but to them, but has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Well, do we? Do we have, as Christians, do we really have that conviction to go and tell people, listen, do you know Jesus? You know, I'll never forget, one day we bought a house in Houston, and this neighbor came and introduced themselves, and the first thing she says, hi, I'm your neighbor. Do you know Jesus? That's what she said. Like, wow. Back then, I would have never done that. We could have lived there for 20 years and not known that we're brothers and sisters in Christ. But you see, she had that conviction that anybody she came in contact with, she was going to say, do you know Jesus? That should be automatic the next day. And usually, you know, men get together, what do you do? Well, I do this, I do that. You know, man, you know Jesus, though. That's the thing that we need to do. And you know, why is that we don't have that conviction or that burden? I can think of a couple of things. Let me just throw them at you, see where we're at. Here's the biggest one that I've known. I'll get rejected. And that's wrong. You're not being rejected. They're rejecting the gospel. You're just a representative. So, and because sometimes people don't take to it, or they just, you know, turn their back on it, or just laugh at you. Listen, they're rejecting the gospel of Jesus Christ. They're not rejecting you. And don't take it personal. You're a representative. And because of that, we should go. You know, I heard of Something the other day on the radio about this individual that was convicted about that, about telling people about God's peace. So you know what she was doing? She goes, she's a home stay-at-home mom, and she don't get to do too much. But she goes, but you know what? All day long, I got to have about 20 calls of these telemarketers calling me. She says, so I made it a point. I'm going to say, I'll listen to you, but you're going to have to listen to me afterwards. And she started talking to them about Jesus Christ, and she admits there was three of them that accepted the Lord on the phone. I mean, that is awesome, ain't it? All right, next time you get a telemarketer, all right, stop right there. We're going to talk, but then I'm going to get to talk. You see? That's using everything that we can. I mean, how many of you are willing to do that? Yeah, why not? Remember, they're not rejecting you. They're rejecting the gospel of Jesus Christ. But I tell you what, you know, we need to be proactive with that. Another thing is this, is that a lot of people don't do it because I want to avoid conflict. It's conflict. You know, we're going to get into this big discussion and blah, blah. You know, it's just, you know, I just don't need the conflict right now. And we walk away from it. I'm glad somebody took the time to tell me about it. To tell me about Jesus Christ, how he loved me and forgave me and died for me. Thank you for that individual. It was bold enough to tell me when I was out in the world, lost, headed to hell, and someone stopped and told me about Jesus. He didn't see the fruit of it, but he told. And that's okay. That's our job. Not only that, rejected conflict, or we have to give of self. People don't want to. We're just too busy. You know, I'm going to have to give of self if I'm going to sit down and tell these people about God and this and that. And people just, you know, I just ain't got that. But here's the biggest one right here. And God forgive us for this next one. God forgive us. When we think that we can go with somebody and say, hey, you know what? I can live without this fellowship. Don't need it. They don't need it. God forgive us. When we think that way. You know, and what prompts that a lot of times is their attitude, the way they're dressed, the way they carry themselves. It's like, you know, another day, another time. Somebody else do it. God forgive us for that. I tell you. Peacemakers. God has called us to be peacemakers, loved one. And I tell you what, we should be known for that as children of God. Let me ask you something specifically. Is there any evidence in your life that you're a peacemaker? Any shred of evidence right now? Is there any shred of evidence that, yeah, man, I'm all over that. I'm pumped up for it. That's what my drive is. Man, I wake up and I think about that. I say, man, who am I going to tell? Who are you going to bring in my life today, Lord, that I can tell them about your peace? See, that's the thing. You need to wake up with that and say, yes, Lord, yes. Who are you going to bring? I'm excited about it. So we go on to the next one. Verse 10 through 12. And it says, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you when they revile you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil things against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. A lot there. First and foremost, the righteousness are given the kingdom of heaven. The righteousness. These are the people. Let me just give you a definition of that. To pursue or first of all, it's the affliction of the following, of the fall that follow a witness and a holy life of God, about God's people in a hostile world. When we're witnessing in this world, the holiness of God, and it pursues that affliction. We're going to be afflicted. We're going to be afflicted. There's people out there that will teach that, oh, if you're a Christian, you'll never suffer. That's because you're not telling nobody about Jesus, man. That's because you're not telling them that there's Jesus Christ and He's alive and He's coming back and He loves them. But the thing is, people don't see that. Righteousness are given the kingdom. It says the kingdom is theirs. Did you get that? The kingdom is yours. You're in. You're there. But who? The ones, it says here in the verse, it says, blessed are those who are persecuted for what? What are we persecuted for? Righteousness. It's God's righteousness flowing through us. It's lifting up a standard of God that there's a different way of living that God calls us to live. Holy, separated. And here's the thing. I want to drill this tonight, these three points here. Believers will suffer for righteousness. I promise you. If you're living up, if you're lifting the standard of God's righteousness up, you will suffer. You will be afflicted. You will be persecuted. In 2 Timothy 3:12, it says this, and yes, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Will suffer persecution. Why is that? I mean, doesn't everybody want righteousness? In heaven, maybe, but not here on earth. The earth is under Satan's control. And God has put us here to be a light and salt, and we're going to tackle that next week. But the thing is that He wants us. He says, you're going to suffer because there's people out there that don't want that righteousness. They see it as, you know what? I don't need you. I don't need your God. I don't need nothing. And that's so sad. See, believers will suffer. Have you suffered? You say, well, you know. See, we're going to suffer, loved one. And I know there's not too much of that going on right now here in the United States, but it's coming. I guarantee you, it is coming. I was listening to, and I caught the tail end of this report. There's a school out there that they were, you know, the football banners, when the football players come through and break through that banner. Well, this school was putting scripture on them. And they said, you know what, that's really offensive. We can't do that at football games. You can't do it. It's on school ground. So the town kind of just like, you know what? We're going to do it anyway. We're gonna do it somewhere else, and we'll do it outside. Well, then they said, well, I'll tell you, we'll pick a little place for y'all if y'all could do that. Well, they did that, and that little place just got bombarded with all kinds of signs. It's like, oh, we need more room. The whole town had signs plastered all over Jesus, you know, warriors for Jesus and scripture. And here's the thing. For some reason, when persecution comes, it should ignite us to push even more for righteousness instead of putting the fire out. It should ignite us and pump us up like, man, all right, we're on the right path. We're lifting up His righteousness, and that's the way it's supposed to be. But for some reason, we back down. Don't do that. Why do we back down? Well, that's my next question there. Believers living and demonstrating righteousness expose sin. They expose sin. You see, when you're living godly and you're lifting up God's standard, people are not going to like you. In 5:14, it says this in Ephesians, and where your light shines, it will expose their evil deeds. And this is why it is said, awake, O sleeper, rise up from the dead, and Christ will give you light. I like the message, the way it says it. It says, hey man, get out of the coffin. You're dead. You're dying. And it's our job to be light. You see, if when we come, we shine, and it exposes their sins. A while back when I was coming up, I was still a teenager, and I had a job, and an individual was going to leave early, like 3 hours early. He goes, hey, when you punch out, punch me out at the end of the day. I said, can't do that. What do you mean you can't do that? It's just punch it in, punch it out. I said, I can't do that, man. Why not? Because you're stealing. You're not here. It would have been so easy to say, yeah, dude, I got you, man. Go for it. But you see, sometimes we don't want to take a stand because They'll label us. That's the next. I'm going to get ahead of that. But when you lift up the standard of God, of righteousness, you're going to have persecution. Expect it. It ought to be a good sign. Like, yeah, man, I'm on the right track. If you ain't been persecuted this week, maybe something's wrong. We need to look at something. It's like, whoa. I remember we were at another shop when I was working, and there was another individual that was a Christian, and every time somebody would start talking and start using foul language, hey, keep it clean. And you know, people would not listen to him. But after a while, he kept saying that and saying that. And after a while, they would say, oh, here comes so-and-so. Let's just keep it clean. Ain't that something? The power of suggestion? Yeah, man. I'm telling you, we need to be more aggressive and lifting up God's standard. We will be persecuted. In John 3:20, it says, and they hate the light because they want to sin in darkness. They hate the light. Who's the light? We are. They're going to hate you. That's okay. Jesus loves me. This I know. The Bible tells me so. Amen? You see? But the thing is, it says, stay away from them, from the light, for they fear their sins will be exposed and they will be punished. Let me ask you this. Does your righteousness in your life, is it making waves in people's hearts around you? Is it? I mean, the righteousness that you're bringing to the people that you're all around with, at school, at work, wherever it's at, is that righteousness making waves to the hearts of people around you? It should be. It should be a tidal wave, man. Typhoon, here it comes! Oh, my God! But then, we're not. We're barely making a ripple sometimes. If even that. But the thing is, why is that? I'll tell you why. I think of three things that why we cannot elevate God's righteousness. Why is that? Number one, I believe we won't do it because there's an unconfessed sin that we are harboring. And we put it under the rug and we don't want to deal with it. And let me tell you something, you'll never be able to lift up God's righteousness until we deal with that sin. We got to deal with it. But listen, I'm not preaching that we're perfect. I'm confessing to you now, I blow it from time to time. I do. I blow it. Don't leave me up here, amen? Everybody else in here does too. We blow it. But here's the difference. When people in the world blow it, they go on their way, don't think nothing of it. But when we blow it, there's this gut-wrenching voice, at least in me, that says, man, that is so lame. That is not lifting up God's righteousness. Go back and make it right now. And you know one thing I've noticed? The longer I wait, the harder it is. There was one time that we had some kind of discussion with somebody at work, and I said, I got to find this number. I can't even go to sleep. I got to get this right, like, tonight. And I called a bunch of people. I finally got his number, and I said, man, you know, about what happened today. I know we disagreed, and, you know, I blew a head gasket, but that's okay. But I love you. I want to make this right. Are we okay? Would you forgive me? And I slept like a baby that night. You see? God, we need it. That's one reason why, but there's maybe an unconfessed sin, and we need to deal with it. Bring it to the cross. God is faithful and just to forgive you about it. The Word says it. The second thing is this. I don't want no suffering in my life. You know, if I don't go along with the crowd, I'm going to suffer for it. I may not get that promotion. I may not get that raise. I don't want to suffer for nothing. I just don't want to suffer for the Lord. Let other people do it. Been there? I tell you, God will bless it tenfold, I guarantee you. When you stand up for Him, even if it costs you money or whatever, He is going to bless it, I guarantee you, just like you got a nose on your face. He is going to bless it 10 times fold. But you got to believe. And then the last one is this, a habitual silence. We don't say nothing. It's not affecting me. I'm not going to say nothing. Just the other day, there was an individual at work. He said something ugly to this individual. And I caught him and I said, dude, that is so wrong what you did. It's so inappropriate what you did to her, what you said to her. He goes, yeah, but we. I said, I don't care, man. It's wrong. It is wrong. Regardless if you see it that way, I'm telling you, it's wrong. He thought about it. I prayed for him, of course. Okay, Lord. It's there. The seed is planted. Let's see what happens. Prayed. Later on, 2 days later, he says, you know, you're right. That was wrong. See, some people don't even know it. They're so blind. They're used to it. That's the way they grew up. And with all these things going on, they don't know what is right. They think that is okay, and it's not. And that's why they need the light of Christ, the righteousness of Christ, to direct them to the light. They got to see something different. And God has called you and me to do that. So, we know the righteousness are given the kingdom of heaven. We know that believers are going to suffer for righteousness. We know that believers will experience, the believers that demonstrate righteousness will expose sin. And let that not be on purpose, you know. Sometimes that comes and falls in our life. Hey, I'm not with that. I'm not about that. I'm not going to go with y'all. Okay? What I'm talking about is that I'm just going to go find, I'm going to play the Holy Spirit. I'm going to go find out and get everybody's business. You're wrong, you're wrong. No, no, no. When it comes to you, you stand. Hey, that's not right, and I'm not going with it. Or if you see something, it's right there, and the Holy Spirit leads you, stand. That's not right. Then the last one, in the last verse, the verse here, he says here in verse 11, blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil things against you falsely for my sake. There's two things we're going to suffer for and be persecuted. Righteousness and for his sake. His name. And it's all for him. And that should be our motivation, loved one. It should be because, not because I'm going to heaven, not because he got some reward. No, no, no. It's because what he did for me on the cross. Man, when I was so dead in sin, when I was out there in the world, and he still loved me and went to the cross. And that's why. That's what motivates me. It's just the love that he loved me first. But he says this in verse 11, that we're going to be, he names three specific ones. Believers will experience three major kinds of persecution. Is anybody surprised? Look at John 15, 20-21. It says, remember the word that I said to you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they keep my word, they will keep your word. But all these things they will do for my name's sake. Because they do not know who sent me. See, Jesus said, he goes, man, if they persecuted me, what makes you think that they're not going to persecute you? They are. It's going to happen. But he names these three things. Revile. What is that? Verbal abuse. Insults. Mockery. You ever been there? When you're somewhere, hey, let's pray. Oh, look at those Christians. They're over there praying. Oh, my God. You know, at work I get called a lot of names. It just depends what religion they're from. You know, there has been reverend, preacher, pastor, bishop. It's like, what? Where are you getting all this, man? It's like, no, man. I'm just a servant of God, and that is it. And, you know, but the thing is that have you experienced some of this stuff? Have you? I just hope it's for the right reasons. I just hope it's for the right reasons. Remember, it's for his name's sake. The second one, he says, is persecuted. Persecuted. That means that you're hurt or organized attack, tormented, treated hostile. Anybody been there? See, in this country, it's kind of hard sometimes. If you go in a third world country, and there's a lot of that going on. Big time. Big time. And then he says, having all manner of evil spoken against you, slander, somebody cursing at you, and lied about. How about that? You ever been lied about? I tell you. You know, we've been lied about. It's going to happen. You know, I've said this before, you know, about lifting up God's standard of righteousness. A lot of times, we won't raise the flag because this is true. The world will hold you accountable. You're a Christian. You're not supposed to be looking at that. You're not supposed to be using those words. Ain't you a Christian? And that's why we don't forecast it, or we don't, we're a different person when we're out in the world sometimes. We need to be the same person that we're in here. How many of us, surely in this group, there may be somebody in here that if somebody from your work were to come in and they said, you at church? You got to be kidding me, man. Is there somebody in here? Sometimes there is, but it's okay. God loves you. I'm glad you're here if that's you. God desires a relationship with you. But the thing is that there's sometimes there's people that are like that. You see, we will be persecuted. Well, look at the last verse in verse 12. It says, rejoice and be glad, exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. All right, last one. Believers' expected attitude. What is our expected attitude? Joy. Exceedingly joy. So why? Why? Two reasons there. The scripture says there. It says, great is your reward. Not only do we have heaven, but God says he's got a reward for you. You know, and some people have the mindset that I just want to get into heaven. I hope that's not your mind. It says he's got great rewards for us. I can just see it. I can just see it. You know, people die, and then they're arriving in heaven, and there's one line over here, and there's one line over there. He goes, okay, this is the well and done, my faithful servant, and this is the one by the skin of your teeth. We ain't got nothing for y'all guys right now, but y'all just see, we're going to have a reward ceremony here in a minute, okay? So just have a seat. Y'all just made it to heaven. By the skin of your teeth. I hope that's not your mindset, because you know why? If you're a genuine follower of Jesus Christ, you would thrive to lift up his righteousness and make peace. You would just be consumed with that. Yes, Lord, I want to lift up your standard. You see? It says joy. That's the response to persecution, and that's because of that peace that we talked about earlier that we have in God. You know, a lot of people think that, well, you know, it's something that I'm not willing to do. Well, guess what? God did it for us, even when we were yet sinners. And if you really, truly embrace God, let me tell you, you'll be right there. You're going to be doing these two. I guarantee it. The next thing there, it says there in the last part, it says, great is your reward. And then he says that the prophets before us were persecuted. The prophets before us were persecuted. I thought about, well, who? There's so many. Turn to Acts. Acts chapter 7. There's a man named Stephen. Stephen was filled with the Holy Spirit. Stephen was a great man. He was preaching the word, the truth, lifting up God's righteousness, and he was being persecuted for it. He was hated for it. And I'm just going to pick up the story here because they're there. And in verse 51, chapter 7, verse 51, he goes, you stiff neck, uncircumcised in heart and ears. You always resisted the Holy Spirit as your father did, so did you. Which of the prophets did you, your fathers, did not persecute? And they killed those who foretold the coming of the one whom you know have become the betrayers of murderers, who have received the law of the direction of who have received the law by the direction of angels and have not kept it. He was telling them, listen, Man, you stiff-necks, you know, I'm telling you the truth and you're not listening. Your fathers and forefathers were persecuting these people and they even persecuted Jesus, the Messiah, the one to come, and you're still not getting it, guys. And then he goes in verse 54, and when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. Guess what? Truth hurts. The truth hurts. But listen, you're at a choice there when truth is presented to people. They have a choice to repent. And for some people, that's not an option. Or they have a choice and rebuke you and persecute you. Talk about you. See, that's what truth does. It puts them in a place where they have to make a choice. And Stephen was there, and he goes on. He goes, hey, man, they mashed their teeth together. He goes, in verse 55, and then he began, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into the heavens and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, look, I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. And then they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears and ran out with him in one accord. And they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. And they stoned Stephen as they were calling on God and saying, Lord, receive my spirit. And then he knelt down and cried out a loud voice, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. And when they had said this, he fell asleep. Can you picture that in your mind? He's talking about the gospel. He says, hey, those guys, we had enough, man. Let's just get this guy out of here. Take him out to the city. Get him out there. Chunk him out there. Everybody get a stone. And hey, Saul, take care of my cloak while I take care of this guy here. You remember who Saul was? That's Paul. And they got them stones, and Stephen was getting stoned, and he was there and just on his knees and saying, Lord, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Don't charge them with this. Do you see the peace? Do you see the peace there? Do you see the righteousness? This man was full of righteousness, the Holy Spirit, and peace. See, a lot of times we think that, how did this guy do that? That'd be crazy. No, he was single-minded. See, single-minded carries that. You know what? Single-mindedness don't see it as a persecutor. It sees this is going to further the kingdom of God. Did it? Yes, it did. Because Paul was holding those cloaks there. And Paul witnessed the stone and he was just looking. And that made an impact on him. I guarantee you, like, this dude is for real. Later on the road to Damascus, God confirmed that. That's why real quick he goes, yes, Lord, what do you want? When? Because he witnessed that. And maybe your witness for righteousness will stir people's hearts up to God. Will you give them that choice? Will you be the representative that God has called you and I to be of peace and righteousness? There are souls hanging in the balance this very night in this very room. There's a hell to shun and a heaven to gain, loved one. And God has picked each and every one of his believers to go out and lift up his righteousness and his peace. Will you do it? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we just bow down before you, Lord. Father, we thank you for your unconditional love that you've given us. Father, we ask that we just be consumed with you, Lord. Consumed with your righteousness. Consumed with your peace, Father. Father, this world needs to see Jesus. Father, I pray that we put our agenda to the side. I pray whatever's weighing us down, Lord, that we bring it to the altar, Lord, and sacrifice and leave it there. And Lord, let us rise up as an army of God, a people of righteousness and peace, Lord, and go out. Oh, Lord, let your Holy Spirit move as it only can. This altar's going to be open. It's going to be a worship song. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, today's the day you can do that. Don't leave without doing that. Please, I beg you, don't leave. Talk to me. I'll be up here. Or Brian. Don't leave. Father, we thank you for this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.